to Bill Flynn in the morning.
Good morning and welcome to the Eagle Info Hour. I will be continuing tomorrow on the program with my travel log, if you will, from Take It on the High Seas and the United States Constitution study we did on board the cruise liner. It's great. Some great stories still yet to come. But this morning on the Info Hour, for the first segment, we have with us Algernon Cash, my buddy. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, I'm supposed to ask the questions here. So hey, I'm already.
Taking over already.
All right. Well, if you want to swap sides of the table, that's we can have fun that way, too. Well, it's good to see you.
It's nice to see you, too. Welcome home.
Thank you. It's a great trip to be on. And I was talking about one of the people that joined us, C.L. Bryant, who you've heard of, and the creator behind a movie, just won a Dove Award called Runaway Slave, a powerful, insightful movie. Anyway, like you guys to meet sometime. In fact, you know, he's been in this area before. He'll be coming back, I suspect. But we may see him on the national political front. And keep your eyes and ears open for that. So let's talk about Orton Gladden and Algernon Cash. First of all, where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Winston-Salem, so this is my backyard, and went to school in Raleigh, and always been here in North Carolina, Bill. I always say whenever I'm out speaking that we live in the greatest state and the greatest country on earth. So,
why do you say that? Why do you believe that?
I just believe we've got just an impeccable quality of life here in North Carolina. You know, there's no other place in the country that you can wake up on a Saturday and be in the beach in 3 hours or be in the mountains in 3 hours. And I just think, you know, when you travel around our state, Bill, you've got just amazing people in our community. So I think we've just got a tremendous place to live. Now we got to make sure we don't mess it up, right?
Well, we got some work to do, I think.
We do.
To repair that and keep our economy moving forward. And that's one of the things you really look at is local investment, right? It's part of what your life mission is about, at least as I understand. Is that true?
Well, that's what we do a lot of through Wharton Gladden. You know, we're a boutique investment bank, so we work with corporations, we work with developers, we even work with municipalities. And we're constantly advising them on how to create economic development through commercial real estate. So a lot of what we're doing is looking at apartments, affordable housing, student housing. We're also looking at places for people to go shop, like shopping centers. And then we're even working with the people that create the places for you to go work. So we do a lot of work with office buildings and industrial facilities. One of the things I'm most excited about right now as we're working with the local company to maybe create some new jobs here in Winston-Salem. So that's what we get an opportunity to do on a daily basis.
Well, and that's one of the areas we've talked about on the show. You're talking about real estate, you're talking about jobs. And quite honestly, you know, we just went through our real estate reevaluations here. A lot of hard hits. And I know that residential prices across the county took a significant hit. Did that also happen for commercial property?
Well, you know, commercial, we had already seen quite a bit of downturn in the commercial real estate values as we were coming through the recession and started to come out of the recession. So I think what you see in the commercial real estate space right now is some stabilization. You don't quite see values still falling. Again, I when you look at what happened here in Forsyth County with the revaluation on residential homes, a lot of that was just driven by the fact we haven't had good sales volume, you know, in the last several years. So in some of those submarkets where they were looking at homes, if you didn't have a price to compare it to, if nothing had sold in the last year or two, it becomes very difficult to value that home. What I tell people is to not get too alarmed by tax values. Tax values, of course, drives what you're going to pay in terms of taxes. But the valuation that you want to be that you want to watch most closely is your market valuation. That determines what you can get when you actually sell your home.
And I think that's part of the equation. I think so many people are concerned about because it used to be in the real estate when it was a seller's market, the tax value would be like, well, that's tax value. Here's the price.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And in a buyer's market, that kind of flip flops. And I've seen people saying, well, tax value's up here. How much off of tax value are you going to come if you really want to sell your property? And for, you know, for most people, that home is their biggest asset they'll ever have in their life.
You're exactly correct. And, I mean, if you look at a few years ago what was going on, is you actually had people going to the tax office and trying to get their tax values lowered because their tax bills were so high, and those tax values were being based off when the market was doing great. And now the tax values have sort of caught up to where the market is. Everybody's upset again. So you'll never make everyone happy.
It is the perfect storm of dissatisfaction in so many ways. Well, what do you see as the some of the bright spots of the economy, and specifically for Scythe County and in Winston-Salem? Some things going on that when you wake up in the morning or you start your week, you say, man, this is good. What are some things you look at?
Yeah, you know, it is tough right now here in the Triad. So I want to speak from a point of realism. I mean, we've got a fairly high unemployment rate, not only here in the Triad region, but also here in our state compared to the country right now. And I do think one of the things that's going on here in the Triad is that we're continuing to suffer from the decline that we had several years ago in textiles, agriculture, and manufacturing. When you look at the climax of the economic expansion, so when the economy was roaring, and that would have been 2006, 2007, even at that point here in the Triad, we still had a deficit of 20,000 jobs. So we still hadn't never really caught back up to all the jobs we lost as a result of the decline in textiles, manufacturing, agriculture. So we're still soft here, but when I look at the Triad, the areas where I get most excited right now, I love what we're doing from an educational standpoint. When you look at what's happening at Wake Forest, High Point University, UNCG, our educational institutions here in the Triad are just impeccable. When I look at what we're doing from a technology standpoint, and you look at the big announcement around the Wake Forest Innovation Quarter and what's happening in downtown Winston-Salem around biotechnology, nanotechnology, those are very good bright spots. And then when I look at financial services, right now BB&T calls Winston-Salem home. BB&T is the 10th largest bank in the country, so we got to make sure we continue to treat them right so they don't leave this community.
It is a great thing to see, some of the – and I think sometimes the message gets out of the negative side of the economy, and that becomes what everybody – sees and talks about, but it's important to be able to say the things you just talked about, to be able to see these bright spots and say, hey, there is opportunity here. Yeah, there's some places we need to work on. Is there enough money, investment money, to realize some of the dreams that you see happening here? Are people willing to invest either on a personal or corporate level in this area compared to other parts of the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a huge amount of capital that's just being held in reserve right here in the Triad. When you look at Winston-Salem, think about some of the things we've been able to do here in this community over the years. This was the home of R.J. Reynolds. This is where Hanes brand made their mark. When you think about what U.S. Airways is today, that wouldn't have been possible without Piedmont Airlines. So we've had some great companies in this community that have created an extreme amount of wealth.
If you'll hold that moment, and we'll talk about what we did with that wealth and where it goes from here as we return with Algernon Cash and Morton Gladden, AM 980, The Eagle.
896-1980. Connect with AM 980, The Eagle.
Good morning, Bill Flynn, and we return with Algernon Cash of Morton Gladden and... Boy, time is flying. We just got here, and we got just a couple of quick minutes left to make sure we get everything in we can. But right before the break, we were talking about some of the foundational strengths of our economy. You mentioned the Reynolds family in this area and how that has morphed into what we have today. Where were you going with that exactly?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think there is a significant amount of wealth and capital here in our community, and it's all about just giving those people the right reasons to invest that capital, and I think that's what our local leaders here in the community are trying to do when you look at what's happening with the research park and some of the other things around town. But to answer your question, yeah, the capital is certainly here. We just got to motivate people to release it.
The word motivate's a big word for you and part of your life. You do a lot of speaking. You do a lot of motivating of crowds and young crowds, and you seem to have an ability to connect with an audience, and you get a lot of requests. Tell me about some of the speaking you've done and maybe some things coming up where we can see you.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, my mom said I always liked to run my mouth, and I suppose now I'm putting it to work for myself. But I Bill, I'm so blessed because people invite me all the time to come out and share my thoughts and my opinions and to speak to crowds. And I say I'm blessed because I think all of us, I mean, you get a chance to do it every day. You get a chance to share your opinion. So you know how that feels on the inside. And so I'm very blessed to be invited to share my thoughts with people. And I enjoy doing it. I was just out at Elon University about a week or so ago speaking at the National Political Honors, Political Science Honor Society induction banquet. That's a mouthful. And I mention that because, you know, when you get a chance to speak to students and they're coming through college and they're sort of searching what the next phase of their life is going to be, it's an awesome opportunity to get a chance to sow a seed. And Bill, I want to correct you on one thing. I'm not a motivational speaker. I like to say that I don't believe in external motivation. Motivation is an internal thing. You either have it or you don't have it. The only thing I do is I show up, I tell you a bunch of stories, and hopefully they inspire you to do something great.
Great distinction.
Thank you.
What a fun thing to be. And it's a trust to be able to do these things, really, because you're dealing with minds many times really tuned and attentive moments in life that are not always that common for people. So when the door to that brain, that opportunity, that person is open, you've got a responsibility as somebody that has been invited to walk through that door. That's a great.
I'm always nervous when I get up. For those people that have seen me speak, they don't believe I'm nervous, but I'm always nervous because I do take it very serious.
How do you overcome the nervousness? How do you not let it win and dominate? And how do you find a way to use it to progress?
I had a great mentor tell me you'll never really overcome the nervousness. The nervousness is actually there because you just want to get it right and because you care about the people that you're getting ready to go speak to. And so if that's true, if my mentor was telling me the truth, I hope I never overcome the nervousness because I always want to take it serious when I have that opportunity to sow a seed in someone's life.
Two things I want to bring up. One involving your work, the North Carolina Energy Forum.
Yes.
Tell me about this, the organization, why it's important to you.
Oh, it's critical, not just to me, but I think to all North Carolinians. I've been involved with the North Carolina Energy Forum since 2006. I spoke at an energy rally in Greensboro. That was around the time here in the country we were starting this debate around cap and trade. And as most know who are listening to your show this morning, cap and trade would be very dangerous for our economy. That's for another show at another time. Mm-hmm. But in the last year or so, I've gotten appointed as chairman of the North Carolina Energy Forum. And I've spent a considerable amount of time sort of crisscrossing the state, visiting Rotary clubs, community groups, different associations, and just talking about the opportunity that we have before us here in North Carolina to create jobs through expanding onshore and offshore energy development. We've got great energy assets right here in our state. And at the same time, we've got the fourth highest unemployment rate in the country. Mm. And we need to do something to get people back to work. And we believe expanded energy development is the way to do that.
I've heard stories about the amount of natural gas that certainly in North America, but North Carolina does share the opportunity to have this incredible natural resource generate jobs and revenue here like few other states do. And the word fracking is a part of that.
That's right.
And you need to be able to address that. What do you tell crowds about that?
Well, you know, I tell people that, first of all, there's a lot of myths around hydraulic fracturing, and that's why we created the website www.ncenergyforum.com, where you can go get some real facts around the process and how it works. Also tell people that the process itself has been around 6 decades. This is not something new. It's just now become affordable for us to be able to deploy this technology. So the scientists and the experts that are involved in the technology, this isn't a new thing. Over 1 million wells have been successfully dug using this technology. And then I also tell my environmental friends that no is not an energy policy. We've got people right here in the state of North Carolina that are dying for jobs. Down in Scotland County, the unemployment rate is 17.5%, and we need to do something in the state to start creating jobs. Right now, the experts have told us that we believe there's around 15 trillion cubic feet of natural gas right here in the state of North Carolina. That was the same estimate they made on the Marcellus Shale. It turned out the Marcellus Shale had 400 trillion cubic feet. Wow. So we could have a huge asset here that gets a lot of people back to work.
And one other topic, too, and that's the power of one fund that you're a big proponent of. Tell me about that. And kind of quickly here because our time is running. But tell me about this one.
Well, your listeners are going to start to wonder when I go to sleep because I've always got something going on.
Well, the answer is you can't fall asleep when Algernon's here because there's so much going on. It's very exciting to hear you talk about these things.
Thank you. Through our company in 2009, we created the Power of One Fund. We really wanted to be able to affect change in our community. And through our Power of One Fund, we target homelessness, domestic violence, and substance abuse. And Bill, quite frankly, what we said when we created the fund was we didn't want to come into the community and say we had the latest, greatest cure to homelessness. There's already nonprofits doing great work. The bottom line is they need more resources. They need more money. They need more time and talent. And that's what we're trying to get to them through the Power of One Fund.
Real quick, a website for you if people want to know more about anything.
WhartonGladden.com, AlgernonCash.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and I love to be your friend.
So. All right. Well, thanks for locking it in with us this morning.
Thank you, Bill.
Good to see you, Algernon, AM 980 The Eagle.